seed of silence that is ever present in your heart, allow any busyness, any thoughts of yesterday or tomorrow, or even of lunch, let them just fall away gently in the same way that the leaves are letting go and drifting ever so softly to the ground. It is well with my soul. In your mind's eye, see the sky of heaven and powder puffs of clouds. See how the sunlight falls and reflects the cast of light on the autumn leaves, as beautiful as you. Listen to the singing of the birds. See the tree leaves as they hold on to the last moments of glory. Feel the breeze nestling up to you. The performance that nature provides for us, even as a shadow dance. What tinsel can shine so bright? You are the greatest on earth. Yes, simple you. Who else has rosy cheeks and dimples and smile lines but God's children? Who has the circumstances you have and the imagination that shines from your eyes? Light as beautiful as you. You saw someone hungry, and you gave food. You knew someone was thirsty, and you gave a drink. You saw a stranger, and you welcomed that stranger warmly. You have given clothing. You have visited the sick. You have prayed for and loved those in prison, even prisons of their own making. Yes. Beautiful you. When you have done this to the least of brothers and sisters, you were doing it to Christ. You, light as beautiful as you. You listen to the singing of the birds. You are the tree leaves holding on during those days of glory. You are the breeze nestling up to you. Light as beautiful as you. And breathing your consciousness back into this room, feeling the gratitude for the very cells of your body and the very atoms of the planet, and for the very essence that we are, the I Am Presence. Thanks be to God. Amen. I had intended to open this morning's talk with a joke about two guys who had been best friends all through their life. And their friendship really centered around baseball, their love of baseball. They loved baseball so much, playing baseball in the side lot as kids, and then playing baseball on organized teams as they got older, even playing into high school and college. And old men, well into their 90s, they sat around and talked about baseball, and they watched baseball on TV, and they promised one another that whoever died first would do their best to communicate back whether or not there was baseball in heaven. And Charlie died, and about 1 week later, George's phone rang, and it was Charlie. And he said, "I've got good news and bad news." He said, "Which do you want first?" And he said, "I want the good news first." He said, "Well, yes, there's baseball in heaven." He said, "Well, then what is the bad news?" He said, "You're scheduled to pitch next Sunday." The That seemed a lot funnier to me in September when I wrote this talk. But I thought you had to know who I really am as I share the rest of the story. It's an interesting thing because the title came from the Daily Word, Celebrations of Life. And that last paragraph, when dates on the calendar bring to mind loved ones beyond the physical realm, I celebrate them in my thoughts and memories. I light a candle in my heart for them and feel love everlasting. 3 weeks ago today, right now, I was standing bedside at my mother-in-law's home. She had been at home with hospice care for 5 months. And shortly before midnight, 3 weeks ago today, she drew her last breath. Her name is Eleanor. And I have to admit that this morning I was quickly rewriting a lot of what I had intended to share with you because I see celebrations of life differently through those raw emotional eyes. But some of what I intended to share is still wonderfully pertinent to me, to you, to the one we are. Mary and I were talking. We both know Patricia Cotarobel's work, and some of us, the couple of the groupies and I, had gone to see her speak, and I'll share some of her talk, some of what she shared with us, but to remind us that right now, on planet Earth, things are happening that have never happened before. There is an influx of light. Have you noticed that you can see Venus in the sky with your naked eye? The planet of love is that close to us. We are in unparalleled times for humans. And that is the celebration of life that we are talking about today. Eleanor was 92. She had 5 boys. I'll mention a little bit more about that later on. She was a collector of things. We knew that, but we did not know to what degree. It's like when you visit someone's house and you see it on the surface rather than opening the drawers or looking under the beds or looking, you know, inside that cupboard on top of the refrigerator. We found treasures we didn't know existed. We've joked amongst ourselves, did she have a separate life that we didn't know about? Was she like traveling on the Riviera at those times when we thought she was just going to the doctor or going to the grocery store? You never know. But there is an element that funerals used to be quite formal. Have you noticed the trend, the difference? You know, in the olden days, they were dry and sometimes impersonal. Scripture passages and hymns were likely chosen by a pastor as an opportunity to shame, scare, or seduce those attending the service. Never miss the opportunity for an altar call. Other than the name of the deceased, the date of birth, and the date of death, the event could have been for anyone. Fortunately, celebrations of life have changed now. Video presentations now create a moving timeline of an individual life lived. We see the best of that life. We either honor or ignore the rest. Contemporary songs, secular readings, poetry, and even jokes are sometimes selected by the person for his or her own eventual celebration. With such personal touches, even close family or friends learn meaningful bits and pieces about the individual.
I have got to say, to hear a Lutheran pastor call my mother-in-law the matriarch of Milberg, the little town she lived in, was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. To have him joke about the fact that he knows where the money is hidden, it's in one of the unopened Christmas gifts still in the attic. To be able to really know what a celebration of life is, that's an important thing. Have any of you watched the 2.5-hour tribute to Wayne Dyer? If you haven't, it's available through Hay House, and I encourage you, every moment of the 2.5 hours, I know on your bulletin you have a little place that says notes, make a note of that. On every moment of the 2.5 hours is worth watching. You can see Marianne Williamson, Bruce Lipton, Cheryl Richardson, and I would make a note to be sure and catch the significance of Cheryl's finding the $20 bill. Carolyn Mace, many others. They show a lot of clips of Wayne, including one where he tells the story of a butterfly, Jack, landing on his finger when he was out for a walk, right after he had finished writing about the significance of the butterfly related to the passing of his friend. In a style of storytelling that you will long be nourished by, Wayne touches our heart and mind through the celebration of his life. Celebrations of life services are now so individualized. If you went to the service of a person you had not met, you would probably still come away with a wonderful sense of who that person was and what was important to him or her. One of my groupies had never met my mother-in-law. Isn't that true? That's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. After we attended that talk with Patricia Cota Robles, and she is amazing. I mean, she stood at the platform for hours, a free seminar, sharing like you or I would say good morning, just wisdom pouring from her. Incredible, incredible presentation. Well, after I heard her talk, I was astounded to really start thinking about the fact that she referred to us humans in such a wonderful way. It was as though I was hearing the celebration of life for all of humanity. So often, humanity is criticized, condemned, and our history, you know, blown into catastrophe after catastrophe, as the worst of our history is lifted up. It was refreshing to hear her call us evolved beings, advanced souls. It was as though she was lifting up the celebration of our collective lives. And to witness her going on and sharing that every person on this planet is a being reflecting light and love. How not one is here by accident. We are sons and daughters of God, embodied here on planet Earth. And as Mary and I were speaking, we knew we were coming for these important times. Even those who are sleeping through this knew what they were coming for. It's a very different idea to recognize our collective, even our collective shadow, as being sacred. Coda Robles reminds us our being in nature, enjoying silence, and keeping our hearts open is vital. We know this connection. 5 months keeping a 92-year-old in her own home with hospice care has not been an easy task. I laugh about the inner Martha and inner Mary. I remember the day I was there at the house delivering some food, emptying the waste baskets, filling the medicine box, cleaning out the refrigerator, doing the dishes, sweeping the floor, while my mother-in-law sat at the kitchen table, looking out the window. Every time a hummingbird would come by, oh, look, it's one of the little ones. I love that. And then at one point, come here. Look out the window. That is the most beautiful flower I have ever seen. Take your phone out there and get a picture. I know you can do that. She loved the technology. And she especially loved that I could take pictures of pictures and show her on my phone and then show people when she was 9 years old and, you know, when she was married in 1941 and all of that. So I have the picture of the most beautiful little flower on earth. Reading from an essay, Reverence for All Life by Michelle Gardner Quinn. I felt attuned with the cycles of life, my favorite being the spring. During these budding months, I could watch the egg sacs of praying mantises as they opened, or collect robin blue eggshells that had fallen from the nest. This was where I felt a strong connection to the natural cycles of creation. This connection has inspired awe in me that I feel strongly to this day. It's a feeling deep within me that has inspired my passions and pursuits as an environmentalist. Michelle wrote that essay for her environmental studies class at the University of Vermont. Just 2 days after completing her assignment in October of 2006, Michelle was abducted and murdered. After her death, Michelle's Earth Foundation was created in her honor. From a recent thought for today by Aaron, my meditation teacher, as channeled by Barbara Brodsky, quote, "For at this time of transition, the soil is increasingly fertile. So many are feeling lost. So many are paying closer attention. So many are asking the way. It is fertile soil, even if there is negativity presently growing on it. If it wasn't fertile soil, the negativity couldn't grow. That soil that can grow the seed that comes to it, let ours be seeds of light." We continue to aid humanity and the planet with music. We certainly have already heard that this morning here. With love, We certainly have already felt that here this morning with joy and with ceremonies. Cota Robles writes, "We not only have the ability to do this on behalf of humanity, we also have the permission to do this because we are one and there is no separation. We've reached a critical mass of divine love, and the I Am presence of every person on earth has made the conscious decision to move forward in the light. This is true whether or not the person has realized this yet on a conscious level." And she created this marvelous little mantra. All we have to do is say, "I am my I Am presence. And I am one with the I Am presence of all humanity. The light I invoke on behalf of myself, I invoke on behalf of every person on earth. I know and accept that this influx of light, unparalleled, will manifest in perfect alignment with every person's divine plan and the highest good of all concerned." This reminded me so much of a favorite Buddhist meditation that comes from the Theravadin tradition. It's called the Mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A meditation, where you think about someone, an individual, and holding that individual clearly in your mind, you visualize that individual happy, acknowledging all of the good things in life, celebrating that life, and repeating the phrase, "May your happiness and good fortune continue. May it increase. May it expand out into the world." I learned that when I would start worrying about something or would have that invitation, you know, to get kind of upset about the way things are out in the world, that I could move on to the collective. I could think about, you know, may all beings experience happiness and good fortune. I could bring to my mind specific categories of people. May all women find happiness and good fortune. I think about Malala, the amazing young Pakistani activist for female education. All women, may all women have a sense of well-being and enjoy success. May they be free from suffering and feel joy. Can you feel the power in that? Being the light in the world. Notice how things can change as we practice mudita for politicians and world leaders. Imagine in your mind, instead of worrying about Donald Trump being our next president, may all leaders find happiness and good fortune. I'm safe because my friend in Canada said I can move there if I need to. May right livelihood bless our world. May all politicians and leaders aspire to do no harm. Feel the rhythm of that affirmation. Feel it radiating out into the world. May all accomplish great good for all beings. May all be free from suffering and feel joy. You can practice this for corporations or countries or ethnic populations. You can practice it when you see suffering in families. May all families come to the end of suffering. May children be held and loved. May men and women enjoy right livelihood and find peace. May these virtues spread throughout the world. Coda Robles offers us reason for sincere celebrations of life right now, not sometime in the future. She says that the new earth is not a figment of our imagination, nor a feature of the future. She says the universe is standing in readiness, awaiting the invitation to assist us in this unprecedented experiment. It is true that we are in uncharted waters, but through the united efforts of heaven and earth, our victory is assured. On her blog, I read, quote, "The beings of light keep reiterating how vital it is that we expand our awareness to realize that everything is alive and has a degree of intelligence and consciousness." The timing for Eleanor's funeral is nothing short of miraculous. She transitioned 15 minutes before midnight, Sunday night, early Monday morning on October 4th, 3 weeks ago today. We met with the funeral home on Monday afternoon. She had planned how she wanted things. She wanted a funeral service at the church in the morning. And then she wanted the women of the church to do the luncheon in the church basement. And then she wanted us to go to the cemetery for that service. She didn't want people to drive from out of town, our friends and family, and not have a meal. And she didn't want them inconvenienced to have to go to the cemetery and then come back. That would have all worked beautifully as planned if there hadn't already been a funeral at her church on Thursday. And if there hadn't already been a family wedding, her great-granddaughter, on Friday. So on Monday afternoon at 4:30, we made the decision to have visitation on Tuesday and the funeral on Wednesday. They weren't even sure they could get the grave open in time. But she was. She was. She was. And they did. And my daughter and my grandchildren came from Tennessee. My other grandson was in North Carolina on business. He got a flight into Chicago, caught a bus to Michigan City. My daughter and the other two, swinging from Tennessee, stopped in Michigan City, picked him up, and arrived just in time for the visitation. But the story goes on from there. 1 week ago, we decided it would be really helpful if we had the estate sale while all five boys were here and could help. And so in 1 week, we prepared 92 years of life for an estate sale. And the 10-day forecast did not look good. But it didn't rain. The weather was perfect. And although the estate broker was not available on the dates we needed, and so we did the sale ourselves, we brought in exactly what the estate broker said we could expect from the sale. And the sale was held Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. Everything is alive and has a degree of intelligence and consciousness, and we will quickly shift the perception of the masses into the acceptance of the oneness of all life, which in turn precipitates humanity's reverence for all life. Reverence for all life. What a celebration of life. I am my I am presence, and I am one with the I am presence of every man, woman, child, and creature in the universe. Five boys and four wives, and a house totally, totally filled with the things that she loved. I'm going to indulge and share with you a little bit from a blog that I posted late last night, the first time in days that my fingers had been able to find their way to the keyboard. It was as though I had stopped breathing, waiting to get my fingers back on the keyboard. That's something that a writer understands. I write that I can live. Musings from an estate sale. It's almost incomprehensible that 3 weeks ago today, Mom was with us eating salmon patties. She was having a rough day, but lovely bouts of connection amidst the breathing challenges. Now what had been her worldly belongings have been given new life. The items had been displayed with care, and the lights were on when we opened the door to friends, neighbors, relatives, and some who came in as strangers and left as friends. Tonight, I received an e-card from a friend expressing sympathy. Writing back, I mentioned that I still use the tea cozy, crock pot, and card table that had come from her mother's estate more than a decade ago. After my friend Carol's husband died, she insisted on paying $50 to mail multiple pairs of her late husband's shoes to us here in Michigan, all the way from Arizona. Although not often anymore, when Carol and I do talk on the phone, she asks, "Is John still walking in Dan's shoes?" The answer is yes. And I now understand why that is so important to her. Our mom's yarn went to ladies at the hospital who knit caps for babies and make blankets for elderly patients. Her unfinished quilt, with pins sticking out like a porcupine quill, was purchased by a woman who lives here in Michigan to be mailed to a sister who lives out of state, who will finish it and send it back to her. Mom's loop rug loom was donated to the senior center. Her baking pans went to the nursing home for a baking circle that's going to start after the first of the year. Her pillowcase went to a woman whose friend makes dresses for girls in Africa. Her fabric went to a woman who makes doll clothes for children with cancer. A newly divorced dad will now put his young daughter's clothing in her dresser drawers. Quote, "All these years I was friends with the boys, and I was never in this house," end quote. Quote, "I always wanted to look out from that bay window and see what she saw when she looked uptown," end quote. "This house reminds me so much of my grandmother's," end quote. Her clothing was donated to her church emergency closet and a local nonprofit. Her jewelry is now being worn by others. Her rings now slip on others' fingers. Her watches sit on other wrists to keep them on time. Friends will watch her windmill turn. Grandchildren of friends will now rock in the little chairs she helped build. Her Christmas lights will be strung in homes we've never seen. Friends will be picking up her forks and spoons and knives. Pam and Pete bought the rocking chairs and her silverware. A nephew will light her kerosene lamps when his power goes out. Even the spices from her cupboards will be blended by others' hands in others' kitchens. Will the vanilla go into banana bread somewhere? Perhaps. And her records, hundreds of vinyl records. The woman who will dance to them has become a friend. I now know where she lives, and I know why she came to the sale. Quote, for years I drove by and saw the little white-haired lady. The yard was always so immaculate. At first I would see her bent over the flower beds. She always had decorations out. The goose with outfits for each season. The past few years, I would not see her out in the yard, but she would be in the living room looking out the bay window. End quote. So many new memories that would have been missed if we had not handled her estate sale ourselves. Quote, when I read about her estate sale and that she had passed, I could have died. I had to come by and get a few trinkets to remember her. End quote. Her unused bedspreads, unopened sheets, and towels not yet turned into crafts now belong to someone else. All the things she treasured are now bringing others pleasure. Quote, when I play her records, I will think about you all. End quote. Her plastic shopping bags, not cut into 3.5-inch wide strips to be made into mats for the homeless, have all been deposited in the collection center at the grocery store. I'm so grateful to each person who has helped us continue the celebration of her life. So last night I made cornbread in her cast iron tins. And then I put her chapstick on my lips. And this afternoon I'll wear her sweatshirt. And forever we will all be changed by her having moved from this world to the next. Celebrations of life. Reverence for all life. Patricia Cota Robles refers to this omnipresence as the Christ consciousness. In this congregation, we know that. We affirm it. We absolutely live it. Through the newly awakened state of Christ consciousness, humanity in mass is at long last moving away from the dominance of our mind and our fragmented left brain thinking. With the assistance of our I Am presence, we are finally balancing our intellect with the love nature of our heart and our right brain's creative and intuitive capabilities. You and you and you and Eleanor, we are all that I Am presence. Today we each know I am my I Am presence, and I am one with the I Am presence of the one we are. Thanks be to God.